This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is that time of the year where a lot of people go down swinging. Basketball Madness does come to Kansas City for the NAIA Men's College Basketball Championship March 20th through the 25th at Municipal Auditorium. 16 teams, 15 games, one national champion. Bring the family for nonstop action, affordable tickets. Get yours today at NAIAHoops.com. You heard Vern. Vern was on yesterday. Vern will be on today. He's in Surprise, Arizona, as we gear you up for opening day. Don't look now, but it is right around the corner.
Don't look now because it's covered in snow, and you're thinking to yourself, 3 weeks.
3 weeks from tomorrow. Can you believe it?
Yeah, we'll believe it on Saturday when it's sunny and 70 and there's no more snow and the birds are chirping and all that kind of good stuff, right?
No doubt. But baseball is staring down the barrel of a shutdown.
It is, yeah.
For some people that would think that 2027 could be no baseball.
Yeah, you know, I was down in Arizona for a couple of days and talking to people down there. And then I talked to somebody in baseball yesterday who goes, 2027 is going to be a washout. We're not playing in 2027. And people are starting to talk about, you know, this affects everybody in baseball, right? It's not just the players and owners. Anybody who works for a baseball team, if there's no baseball, there's a good chance they're going to be furloughed. And all of those folks have mortgage payments, have car payments, have tuition, all this kind of stuff that's due. And as we're sitting here talking about this, this isn't fear-mongering. This is listening to people in baseball. And we saw it yesterday, Tony Clark, the head of the union, saying preparing for a lockout in 2027 and whatnot. And that's kind of where everybody is. Everybody is resigned to the fact right now in baseball that 2027 is not going to be available for the fans or for anybody. There's going to be no baseball in 2027 is what a lot of people are predicting right now. And I've thought all along, and I could be completely wrong, and I may have misread the room on this one, Dusty and Mac, and I really think I may have. But I thought if you shut baseball down for a year, yes, fans are going to be mad, they're going to be bitter. But if you came back with a salary cap and a salary floor and even distribution of all the revenues, I think fans would embrace baseball and go running back to baseball. But I feel like maybe I've misread the room on that one. I don't know right now how fans would react if baseball went away for an entire year. And if they did come back with a salary cap and a salary floor, would the fans come streaming back into Major League Baseball? Or would another work stoppage just be like, that's it, I'm done with Major League Baseball?
Well, this is what Vern said yesterday when he joined us.
Well, yeah, I mean, to achieve a cap and a floor, you might miss an entire season. Yeah. And in today's entertainment landscape, with attention spans being what they are, people will forget about baseball, I think, real quick.
Wow.
Maybe not you and I, but a lot of people, I think, will forget about. I think that would be terrible for the game of baseball. I mean, there already is a quasi-cap with all these different luxury taxes. There isn't a floor. And, players are never going to go for a hard cap. I can't believe they already have been duped into the soft cap, but. Now, I'm not saying I'm opposed to all of it. I understand where baseball needs to go, right? The players and the owners have to work together if they're going to grow this game. But there's just so much animosity between the two, understandably so, because of the past 80, 90 years. I certainly believe that there's going to be a work stoppage. And, yeah, I think it could be catastrophic for the game.
Yeah, that's Vern saying that, right? And I don't know anymore what the right answer is. The problem is that players and owners do not like each other, as we know, but there's also owners that don't like other owners, and it's big market owners versus smaller market owners, and everybody has their own agenda in Major League Baseball. And until Major League Baseball owners can get in a room and figure out exactly what they want and work in unison together, it's going to be very hard to go to the Players Association and try to bargain with them, because you'll have owners fighting with each other inside the room about, I don't want that, I don't want this, I want this, I want, you know, so there's a bunch of bickering people sitting around fighting about stuff that doesn't apply to the rest of the free world, obviously. So I need to know, and I want to know from the text line, if you want to call in as well, Mac, your opinion, Dusty, your everybody's opinion, like, would you go back if 2027 was a wash and it didn't exist, but they came back in 28 with a cap and a floor and baseball seemingly was on the up and up from some of the off the field stuff they did? Would people go streaming back, or would people be like, nah, I'm out? Because we still hear people complain about 1994, for God's sakes.
I think there's a few things. I think, obviously, I'm not the right person to ask, because I will stick around for baseball, but yeah. I'm with Vern. I think the majority of the audience would be like, yeah, no, another year off. Like, they just never get it right. It's not going to come back. And the entertainment factor as well, like, with short attention spans, I think Vern nails it there. I think the right person to ask is somebody like Mac, because yeah. I think you could throw the spin on it if like, let's say the NBA went away for a year. Mm-hmm. You're not going back. Like, you're like, oh, great, whatever.
I wouldn't care if the NBA okay. went away, right? And if it came back and there was something entertaining, I'd watch it. I'm not a diehard basketball fan.
And
right?
I think Mac has that opinion yeah. when it comes to baseball.
Yeah, I think I agree there. You know, you guys have kind of swayed me both directions these past few days, as I've heard you guys kind of come from each side, because I do see what you're saying, Dusty, about, you know, and what Vern said about mentioning the attention spans being gone for a year. Would it bring me back? But also, the game being structurally better and having a better just integrity of the whole game would attract me to the game, and the salary cap and salary floor is that, but I don't know if it would bring me back. I think I'm still where I'm at and that it would be positive, but I can see where you guys are coming from, that the majority of people would say classic baseball, can't get it right, 1994 to 2025, still total crap.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about it, and you can weigh in 913-586-7965 on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line or the phone lines as well. I do want to hear from people, because I don't know if I've misread this situation, but, you know, with baseball, you know, from 94 until, like, 3 years ago, they had labor peace. They had more labor peace than any other sport. But the perception is, and this is where people can't hide from the perception is baseball's always dealing with labor issues, right? I think if you ask anybody who's a sports fan what league deals with labor issues the most, everybody would say Major League Baseball. But up until this last lockout that lasted, you know, into the spring a couple of years ago, there's been labor peace in Major League Baseball. But the way that they bungled COVID and handled that like a bunch of children, and you know, now what we have going on, the perception is baseball just can't get it right from a labor standpoint. And that's the perception that the league, Major League Baseball, needs to change, because whether you want to say the perception of people is wrong or not, it is the perception of people. And when people perceive things, you've got to convince them the other way. And the perception is baseball can't get it right from a labor standpoint. So if it were to go away for an entire year, would you come back if they fixed the game and it became more like the NFL, right?
We'll go to the phone lines, 913-586-7965. Double J, what say you if baseball has a stoppage?
Yeah, to answer your question, yeah, I'd come back in a heartbeat. To have it as an equal playing field for all the major league teams with a salary cap base, heck yeah. Make it fair for the Royals, everybody, and give us a chance to win the World Series or at least get to the postseason. So I'm excited for baseball, and go Royals, and we're going to be really good this year.
Yeah, I think the Royals are kind of a bad example of that, because they're the only small market team since the 94 strike to have won a World Series, right? It's all the big market teams wow. that win a World Series. The Royals are the only small market team to have won the World Series, and they were in the playoffs last year. They've kind of found a way a little bit to kind of buck this trend. But again, that's the perception right now that we're dealing with. The Royals don't have an opportunity to win, but yet they're the only ones that have kind of won in this era of Major League Baseball.
I take it from a selfish standpoint because that's like Bobby Witt Jr.'s youth.
Yes.
And let's say that Bobby Witt Jr. goes out there this year, wins the MVP, comes back in 2026, has a great year, and you get to partner him up with Caglione himself and Salvador Perez. And then, oh, by the way, the work stoppage is the last year of Salvador Perez's career.
Right, exactly.
And you don't see Salvador Perez anymore because baseball decided to take a year off because they couldn't figure it out.
Right.
I think the other thing that hurts baseball with the perception of people that watch it and love it is that this is another book, another story of the same narrative. Like, baseball always seems to find its way in these sort of things.
It does, yeah.
Strikes, steroids, layoffs, delays to the season, work stoppage. And it's like, here we go again. You know what? How many times does it fool me once? Shame on me. Fool me twice. Yeah. Shame on you. Or you can't get fooled again. But, like, that's the thing about baseball is that it's always something. And it's never just like, wow, we've gone 20 years without an issue in baseball. That's just not the case. And I think that that's what pisses people off.
It does.
Is that it's like, I think I can speak for my dad for this. Like, once you get into a groove, then it's like something happens and you're like, oh, so everybody was cheating. That's why everybody was good. Well, that sucks. And then before that was, oh, you know, my team's actually pretty decent. Oh, there's a strike. That sucks. And then now all of a sudden you get into this where it's like, oh, the Dodgers can pay everybody and, you know, push the money off and do all this sort of stuff. And all these super rich teams just always play for, like, last year, the World Series, Dodgers, Yankees.
Right.
Ratings were great because two of the biggest markets in sports were tuned in.
Right.
But everybody else is like, baseball sucks.
Yeah. So I think right now would be a terrible time for baseball really, truly to shut it down because there's so many great young players right now in the game. The games move. They're fun to watch again. Like baseball's got its renaissance going on right now.
Yeah, it's brought me and a lot of my age back.
Yeah, you know.
In general.
Well, I mean, that means more than what I have to say, quite honestly,
no,
because
fair.
You're 27 years old. I'm an old head. I'm a seam head. They've got me, already. I'm in, but you're new to all of this, and so you have the opportunity to kind of become a new baseball fan. And if they're bringing people in their 20s in for the first time,
you're right.
You don't want to look around and shut down a game because I'm 47 years old. They'll get me back. I'm fine.
Right.
You've got new people, new blood in your game right now. You want to keep that going and moving forward, and to take it one step further.
If you're
the Royals. You have an opportunity for these next 2 years. You better be all in because there is no 27. So be willing to do anything over these next 2 years to win a championship or to compete for a championship and to put a great product on the field. So when it does shut down for a year, when you do come back, people in Kansas City have great memories and we can kind of pick up where we left off. And so if I'm the Royals right now, I'm doing anything and everything, move-wise, money-wise, to try to go out there and win a world championship in these next 2 years.
And baseball's biggest problem isn't itself. Baseball's biggest problem is the sport that everybody else challenges, and that's the NFL. And guess what's not stopping and not going away? The NFL.
The NFL.
And the NFL is just insanely extended itself into everybody else's seasons. It's taken away the NBA on Christmas Day. It's taken away the opening day.
Taken away March Madness, Dusty.
College basketball is irrelevant to the NFL in the draft, in the pre-draft, in the combine. Opening day, somebody already said on the text line a couple weeks ago, 1,000 times more interested in the combine than opening day talk and early baseball talk. Baseball misses a year, and the NFL gets to have zero competition. Good luck.
Yeah, you know? I know.
You're up a creek without a paddle.
I know, and I just feel like
maybe
it's the other way. Like, if they come back and they do it right. But see, that's the other thing. Do you believe if baseball shut down for a year, they would come back and do it
but
right?
But then you've got, no. Then
no.
But then you have to explain to those people, don't worry, they'll get it right. And then they'll be like, yeah, and then in 5 years, there'll be something else.
Right,
because
exactly.
That's what baseball does.
Yep.
Coming up on the other side, one word. Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Diving back into it here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan with Mac Morey as well. Kansas City, stay safe out there. It looks terrible. Windy, cold, good soup day.
Yeah, it is a
good
definite soup day. Yeah.
Top three soups, broccoli cheddar, potato, chicken tortilla.
I'm going to tell you what I'm on a kick now. French onion soup, homemade French onion soup.
Mm.
Now, that's
good. Oh, yeah. Oh. I you don't like onions?
I don't like them like slimy like that in soup.
I understand what
you're saying.
I'll eat
the broth and the cheese and the little crostini that's on top, but I'm not eating. I'll let the onions sit there.
You will.
Oh,
see, I like them. You got to do it right. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you're going to make your French onion soup, guys, get ready to put in time. You got to reduce
spice?
Those onions.
Herb?
A little bit. Actually, a little bit of time. You got to reduce those onions for about an hour. And you're sitting there, you know, not glazing the onions. What am I talking about?
Sauteing
the onions. Yeah, rendering them down. You got to go for about an hour to get the onion to that perfect rendering, and then you get all the good brown bits on the pan. You dump it in. Like, so I'm good with French onion soup. Chicken noodle is always a winner, and then matzo ball soup. Those are my three. Let's go.
Yeah, I still don't think I've had matzo ball soup.
So order it off of Amazon.
Okay.
Order the Manischewitz box on Amazon. Literally, it comes in two packages. One is your soup mix. One is your matzo ball mix.
Okay.
You make your matzo balls. You put them in the refrigerator for 10 minutes or something. You make your soup. You dump. It's so good. It is unbelievably delicious.
I believe you.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Magically delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know you can buy the Lucky Charms marshmallows just in a bag?
Yeah, I remember when they started to do that. So we didn't need more diabetes in this world. Yeah, here, just buy marshmallows.
I would.
Yeah.
Fox 4 is not winning today, by the way. They're like out here trying to show you that the roads are bad and everybody's just flying by.
Oh, man. It is great.
The roads are terrible.
Exactly. Max said there's a good text on the text line where we can respect the text.
Yep.
From the 660. I'm a dad of a 10-year-old getting ready to start Little League season. So I'm supposed to tell 11 kids on my team how great of a game baseball is, and it shuts down. Volunteer coaches, $300 bats, and the pros can't figure it out. WTH. What the hell?
Yeah, no, exactly. You're right. I mean, that's where it is right now as a parent. The $300 bat, though, that's the thing, because these damn things expire. And so it's like every other year you're spending $300 to $500 on a new bat. And as Dusty said during the break, they changed the rule. Yes. I mean, it's constantly, you know, like that's the problem with baseball that baseball has run into over the years, is that it's just too expensive for the average kid to play. It's just it's crap, man. I mean, as a parent, we're stretched so thin. People have no idea how stretched thin you are as a parent, and then you want your kid to play his sport, and you've got to invest in a $300 bat, a $200 glove, a $75 helmet, a $100 bag, pair of cleats. What?
Time.
Yeah, time.
Saturdays, Sundays, shot to you know what, because you got to go three games in the summer.
Right. It's crazy. It's so hard for these kids just to go out and play a sport right now. And for me, when we were kids, man, like we all shared a batting helmet. Maybe there were three bats. Everybody just grabbed a bat, went out there and played. And sometimes you left your glove out in the field for somebody else to use. Now, God forbid, you share a bat or a helmet, you're going to get lice.
Or measles. New segment we're doing here on Fesco and Dusty. It's literally titled One Word.
One word.
Yeah. We'll give like a storyline, or we'll give you for instance, let's start off with a softball, right? Here we go. A baseball shutdown in 27 would blank. One word.
Suck.
Yeah.
Would lose make, people?
Well, that's two words, though, Mac.
Yeah. Baseball shutdown in 27 would make you feel blank. Like terrible.
Poopy.
Happy. Great.
I'd be like, look, guys, I'm not going to lie. I sat down yesterday once I got home. Spring training baseball all afternoon. Like, I just love the game. It's my kind of drug at this time of year, if you will. Love watching baseball. I could watch anybody play at any time, anywhere. It would suck. But the game has got to get fixed. We can't have these conversations. When was the last time we had this conversation surrounding the NFL or the NBA or leagues like that? Like, you've got to get this thing fixed. So I would feel poopy.
This comes from Baseball History Nut. Adam Dunn struck out more in 2012 than Tony Gwynn did in the decade of the 1990s. That stat line makes you blank.
Wow.
Yeah. One word to describe that headline. Adam Dunn struck out more times in 2012 than Tony Gwynn did in the decade of the 90s. One word to describe that headline.
Yeah, jaw drop. Wow.
He does not know what one means, I don't think.
jaw drop? Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's two words.
Jaw drop. That's pretty simple. Two words.
Well, that's like your opinion, man.
Yeah, man. Hyphen, bro.
I would say amazing.
Yeah.
Because I think amazing, obviously one word can be vague, but I mean, like Adam Dunn was also like, I mean, he was the donkey, man. Like he hit 45 bombs, hit 260 and struck out, but he hit 45 home runs. Tony Gwynn played in a different era where like singles and doubles mattered.
Right. It did. Like Tony Gwynn, I always look at it, I go, man, I wish that guy had more power. He was a singles and doubles hitter. But the fact of the matter is this guy struck out more in a year than one guy did in an entire decade. I mean, that's just nuts.
Yeah, Adam Dunn, man, that guy was a Stratomatic king New season Stratomatic just came out, by the way, so I'm probably going to buy that. And if my dad's listening, I'm going to get a text in like 5 minutes. Says, when and where? One word. Just two dudes boxing on top of a hot air balloon.
No.
Yes.
Really? Don't. You would do that?
I that stuff seems exhilarating to me. I like that rush.
Oh.
Yes.
When baseball shuts down in 2027, Jake Paul will fight Logan Paul on top of a hot air balloon, and one Paul will never come back again.
Top paper.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, addition by subtraction. I'm kidding.
I would absolutely watch somebody do that. And the video circulating yesterday was two guys on top of a hot air balloon at about 10,000 feet, however high those hot air balloons go, boxing.
Boxing. Like full on, like ring.
Right. It's the last boxing match anybody's watched, though. I mean, like, right? Yes. I mean, nobody's watching boxing anymore. So, I mean, those two guys on top of that hot air balloon at about 10,000 feet.
Like, I sent you guys that video of that person free jumping.
Yeah.
No.
All in. Would love that.
Negative.
Have you ever jumped out of a plane?
No. Would love to.
Oh, well, I'm sure we can get that taken care of. Anybody got a plane that wants that Mac jump out of it? Let us know. 913-586-7965.
From the 913, legendary. And from the 816, nipples. That's their one word to describe just two dudes boxing on top of a hot air balloon.
No chance, man. Like that looked insane.
Words. Yeah.
I'm not a thrill seeker, if you will.
I'm not here to watch people die. You get knocked out, and all of a sudden you fall out of the ring. There's nothing but you and a pasture below you that's about 10,000 feet below, which I know that's not the height of a hot air balloon, but still.
I don't know what the height is, but it's high enough.
A, never will I go into a hot air balloon. B, heights are terrifying. And C, hot air balloon. There's just no way.
Are you afraid of heights?
Yes.
Okay. Are you afraid of heights?
No, he wants to jump out of a plane.
No, I wouldn't say like I. Yeah, no, I would say no.
Yeah, no, you're not afraid of heights. I didn't realize I was afraid of heights until we do our baseball trip every year. And one year we went out to San Francisco. I think it was 2015 when the Royals were good. Because I remember sitting there just watching the Royals game on the phone while we're at the Giants game. And Danny Duffy was pitching. And it might have been a good game for Danny. But we rented bikes and rode over the Golden Gate Bridge. And I looked down, and oh my God.
Yeah.
You're like,
I couldn't pedal
fun?
Fast enough, man. Like, and that's what I realized. Planes don't bother me. Big, tall buildings don't bother me. But once I feel like I don't have, you know,
stability,
that's when I'm like, uh-oh, I got to get over this bridge.
Yeah, I told our big boss, when I went to Portland, Oregon, we drove to Willamette Valley's Vineyard. And I was the driver there. Smart.
Nice.
And I took an edible. And I drove. Well, there's this major highway that goes over this giant river in Oregon, in Portland. And I mean, I'm driving an Escalade. I've never driven a car
Look
this big in my life.
An Escalade.
What
How
me?
About this?
What me? I didn't rent it. And I'm driving. All of a sudden, like everybody in the back goes, "Why are we going 35?" And I was like, "Chill." I mean, I was high up on a slant, looking my life, and my heart's at my neck, and it's just like, and I'm just like, I shouldn't have taken this gummy the whole time.
Maybe it was like, better that you did, though,
no, it was
because
terrible.
You got through it. I mean, no, but the people talk about this drive in Hawaii called like the Road to Hana or something like that. I've heard about, and people are like, "Oh, you got to do this Road to Hana." I'm like, they go, "What are you afraid of heights or anything?" I go, "Yeah." They go, "Then don't do it."
What is it? 7 Mile Highway in Key West or down there in Florida?
That's fine. I'm fine with that. It's nothing a 7 Mile ocean. Bridge. That's I'm okay with that. If I'm in the car and I'm on the bridge, I'm fine.
But you're walking, you're toast.
Yeah, if I get out there and
you don't like
not
that.
Gonna do that. Nope. Like observation decks, like you go up the Empire State Building or something, I can kind of peer out a little bit. Then I got to kind of get back.
No.
Yeah, get back.
See,
a little
even
bit.
That you're not in on that.
No, okay. I got insanely hammered in Vegas and went to the Stratosphere and thought it'd be a good idea to ride those three rides.
Oh, no chance! I'm going on that.
Yeah,
thing.
Have you seen what those three rides are? The
I've seen them. I've never
chance.
Yes. One is a detonator, shoots you up.
Nope.
I almost lost my Rio buffet. The second one is a cart that goes over the building and drops and then comes back.
Nope.
Ooh, wow.
And then the third one is like the octopus where you get strapped in, you go over the edge, it spreads out, and you go in a circle.
Yes.
We were the next ones in line. They shut the ride down.
Thank God. You got lucky.
Ooh, that's scary.
True story. My mom's not alive to prove it. My stepdad is alive to prove. I need to prove that story. We were the next in line, and we heard the talkback guy go, "You gotta shut that one down. Bolt loose."
No way.
I could call my stepdad right now.
Oh my God.
I swear. No. And I don't do that, but I promise you on everything.
Wow.
That's terrifying.
Jeff, oh my God.
Jeff, my stepdad, can tell you this. We were the next in line, and they're gonna like, "Yeah, we shut it down due to wind." I'm like, "No, they didn't."
You heard it. You heard
bolt
it.
Bolt loose.
Yeah.
Bolt loose.
Well, maybe that's code word for wind.
Yeah. One word continues.
I won't get on rides, man. It's not my thing.
I was like, yeah, we're good. We're good, dude. Like, we're out. We're going to go. Let's go get hammered and play some slots. You know what I mean? One word to describe this. Jimmy Johnson replacement. Mike McCarthy.
No.
No.
Negative.
Yeah.
Ron Rivera. Interesting.
Okay.
Maybe.
Because okay. I feel like he's kind of the guy that's like, his nickname's Riverboat Ron. And with the analytics in football, with all these old heads, they're like, "Well, I don't know why you just didn't kick it there." And Ron's going to be like, "Well, let me tell you why he didn't kick it there." Because there's obviously these, and I think Ron Rivera is interesting in that role. Doug Peterson.
I'm going to say yes, comma, if he's able to loosen up.
So one sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sentences.
But it all depends on him. If like he's willing to let his guard down, I think he'd be good. But if he's not willing to let his guard down, then that's a no.
Yeah, I guess I'm saying no because I don't see him being able to do that.
And that's kind of where I fall to.
Yeah.
Doug Peterson, retired. Just stay retired. I don't need any more Doug.
I'm good.
He's ran his course.
Yeah.
It's like this winter. It's like, I don't need another surprise Doug Peterson scene. I'm good, man.
Yeah. Like since the Philly special, kind of
I'm good, man.
I mean, it went south down there in Jacksonville really fast. Yeah.
Hey, it's the game passing by. It's okay. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes you get to high school and you're no longer that baseball player. It's just time to put it up and go away.
Yep.
John Gruden.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Hell yes.
Yes. What do you think happens first? Gruden's back on TV or Gruden's a head coach in the league?
He's already on TV technically with Barstool.
Yeah, but I mean like the big time networks that televise the NFL.
I laughed so hard at his video yesterday trying to open up a box from Florida State. He's like, "Bill O'Brien gave me this box, man. I love Florida State. I got this box
Bill
cutter."
Bill O'Brien's at Florida State now?
Wow, I didn't know that.
That's what he said in the video.
And didn't he coach at Boston College?
Boston. Oh, same colors. Same colors.
Yeah, they are the same colors. Same. Yes.
Yes. But he was like trying to open this box. He's like, "You guys watched me open that box a couple weeks ago and struggled. Now I got this box cutter. The hell's going on with this thing?" And he
Why
can't
are you Binkley-ing
open the box.
This thing up?
I don't know. I don't know.
Because I can see Binkley struggling with a box cutter.
One word to describe Matt Rhule.
Dork.
Douche.
Yeah, douche
bag.
Is another good one. Like
a-hole.
This guy has been That's kind a of a word. Jackass since he's gotten to Nebraska, right?
Yeah. Significant Wind, is that him?
No, that's Charlie Weiss.
Oh, that is Charlie Weiss.
Yeah, the significant wind is the best of all time.
There is a significant wind outside today.
Today there is, yeah.
There is, that's fair.
Well, there's a significant wind.
Yeah, because Matt Rhule's mad that his player's doing TikToks.
Yikes.
TikToks. Not during the game. Not during practice, not during workouts, during their downtime. And so what did he decide to do? He decided to make them all do wall sits and do TikToks with wall sits.
It's fourth and goal every single day in our building. Right. That's the mindset. It's fourth and goal every day. Like, you know, I go away to see my family at the beach and everyone's like, "I know you're on vacation." I'm not on vacation. I'm working from the beach.
Loser.
Like, this is 24/7, 365. Like. We're chasing greatness. I mean, everyone here is sprinting to stay ahead of us. We got to catch them and then get where we want to be. So the urgency is elite.
Elite at football.
When I go to the beach, I'm not on vacation. I'm working from the beach.
We're getting to the point, though, where we have some guys that regulate the temperature of the team.
He sounds like Louis Anderson.
A little bit there. Yeah, he did. Yeah. Like this guy.
That makes sense.
Actually, if you want a true word for Matt Rhule, for me, non-credible. I don't think the guy's believable as a head football coach.
Worked at Baylor.
Did a nice job at Baylor.
Great.
Went to the league. Went to the wrong team. Went to Carolina. Right. But, I mean, that might have been the one time Tepper got it right.
It may be the greatest payday for him, though. I mean, $35 million dollars to never work.
Well, he knew he was going to get fired, so he put it in the clause.
Yeah, of course.
And then goes to Nebraska, and now he's mad because his star quarterback's doing TikToks.
Elite at football.
Yeah, that's Louie Anderson. That or that guy's had a lot of, you know, Pall Malls.
But I don't know how you can get out there and talk to kids today and be mad about TikTok, okay? We're doing spring break in a couple weeks. We're flying to Las Vegas for 36 hours just to kind of start there, rent a car, Grand Canyon, all that kind of stuff, and then finish up in Phoenix for a couple of days. And my kids are so excited about going to Las Vegas because there's a TikTok trend out there where everybody's doing it at Caesars now.
Oh, okay.
And so they're excited to go to Caesars. Dad, can we go as soon as we land? I'm like, well, we're leaving here at like 10 o'clock at night. We got a late flight. Land there. It's going to be about 10 o'clock there because of the time change.
Oh, yeah.
I said, yeah, everything's open 24. He said, can we go at like 2 a.m. and do this TikTok? I can't wait to do this TikTok. I'm like, I don't care. That's fine. We're in Las Vegas. Do whatever the hell you want, right, at this point in time. And we'll go. We'll take you wherever you want to go. It's open 24/7. We can do all that. That's what kids are into today. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to be this old head football coach at Nebraska and make people do wall sits, I tell you to go get effed, really, because you want to recruit these kids. You want to know how you can build your program. Grandpa Rule out here complaining about TikToks and making guys do wall sits. That's not a way that you're going to recruit kids and win over this generation of kids. TikTok is where it's at, bro. Like, embrace what's going on.
Huh. Especially his five-star quarterback's one of the ones doing it.
Is he doing it?
Yeah. I mean, he just did a video the other day where
he's in football.
Somebody says, I played football at Lindenwood, but grew up a Husker fan. He's a hard ass, but turns around programs. I believe he's the guy.
They're 6-5. Like, is that where Nebraska standards are right now?
Winning season, you got to start somewhere.
I mean, Nebraska hasn't been relevant since Carter was president.
I mean, Bo Pelini had him present, had him pretty.
Bo was great. See, that's the kind of guy you need, though. I like Bo Pelini.
He's the same guy as Rule.
In a different way, though, I feel
same
like.
Old
like
head.
But I feel like he's different. I don't know. There's just something not credible. Like, I believed in Bo Pelini as a football coach. Like, I looked at him and I went, all right, I'll run through a wall for this guy. I look at Golden Rule here and I'm like, meh.
Golden Rule. Yeah. That guy.
I mean, listen to this guy.
It's fourth and goal every single day in our building. Yeah. That's the mindset. It's fourth and goal every day. Like, you know, I go away to see my family at the beach, and everyone's like, I know you're on vacation. I'm not on vacation. I'm working from the beach. Like, this is 24/7, 365. Like, we're chasing greatness. I mean, everyone here is sprinting to stay ahead of us. We got to catch them and then get where we want to be. So the urgency is elite.
If you're working that hard,
on the beach, on vacation, the beach, with your family.
Not on vacation.
Maybe you ought to change things up a little bit.
Yeah, and don't get mad when your wife goes and gets surfing lessons from Skylar.
Right, exactly. Yeah, right, yeah.
Get where we want to be. So the urgency is elite.
The urgency is elite.
One word to describe Matt Rule.
The urgency is
painful.
Elite.
Loser.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, so that's where I look at that guy. I'm like, you're telling people you're on the beach instead of spending time with your family, you're constantly work and you're 6-5.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't sound like a great plan.
But he's got Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. Don't forget,
the urgency is elite.
It is Wednesday, so the urgency is elite for you to get to our fan, the fan 965 Twitter poll. Who do you like more, Ian Rappaport or Jordan Schultz? So far, Ian Rappaport is running away with the competition. 59.8% say Rappaport. 40.2% say Schultz of Starbucks. So maybe that has something to go into play with that. But on the other side, when it rains, it pours. I swear I'm not going to talk about weather. It's sports related here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Some people chiming in on who Matt Rule sounds like. Sam Kennison.
I definitely see that one, yeah.
And Kevin James.
Kevin James I can see as well, yeah.
Mac, I'm not sure. Sam Kennison's way before both of us, but very funny comedian, no longer alive.
Okay. He died in the early 80s, I want to say.
In heroic fashion. He saved his wife in a car accident.
Oh, I didn't know that. Really?
They were getting a car accident, and he was getting ready to get in a car wreck, and he jumped in front of her, killing himself and letting her live.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's unbelievable. I was just going to assume he was just like every other comedian, and you know,
full of useless knowledge was the narrative of my life.
No, that's interesting. Actually, I'm really interested in that. I had no idea about it. Changes my perception of Sam Kennison a lot knowing that story now. Also, how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Tootsie Pop? You tweeted out. Apparently,
that's right? Not what I tweeted out, but I saw from a handle called the Yak, the race to the center of the blow pop was everything we could have have asked for. Two guys sitting cross-legged with little vests on, trying to eat a blow pop faster than the other.
Oh, this is a real competition.
Yeah, it's on. You can just go to my name and you can see. I mean, this guy is putting in work.
Oh, my God. I thought it was just two dudes just trying to guess, like that owl with the Tootsie Pop years ago that screwed us all. That owl can go to hell in those Tootsie Pop commercials.
Okay.
Three licks my ass, owl. How many people broke their teeth because you said three licks?
Mm.
Does Mac even know what that is?
I mean, I barely know what it is, so there's no way.
There's no chance Mac knows,
no
right?
What? Sorry.
The Tootsie Pop commercial, the owl?
Of course.
Yeah, okay. Oh, you did?
I grew up with that.
It was one of those things that just, like, replay. Like, you could tell it was made in the 50s.
Oh, you could tell it was super old.
Yeah, yeah, it's like awesome. When you watch the Rudolph thing, and you're like, am I on mushrooms?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like, why is this, like, animatronic, like, talking to me?
Yeah.
But no, it looks like me versus Alex Gold in a sucker competition in that video.
I mean, who can eat the lollipop? I mean, this is really insane.
And they're both just cross-eyed, stared at each other.
Yeah, just sitting there. Why do they wear the vests?
That's what I was trying to figure. That was my first question. Yeah. Not the fact that they're staring at each other in eye contact while they're just going to town on these blow pops, but the fact they're sitting like they are, wearing little like vests. And, I mean, that one guy is putting in work.
The other guy's just kind of sucking along. The other guy's twisting and spinning and turning and, like, doing all kinds of stuff. And the other guy's just kind of just puffing on it like it's a dart.
It looks like the other guy looks like a mixture of Alex Gold and Johnny Knoxville.
And the other guy looks like a mixture of Binkley and Binkley.
Hey, I'd suck for a couple years.
What do you win if you win this competition?
It's hard. You got to, like, split it, suck it, slam it.
That's right.
That's
how you do a blow pop, yeah.
Yeah, and the competition can be described as...
It's a big bundle of suck dust, man.
No doubt about it.
I used to sell blow pops in school. Quarter a piece or three for a dollar. You'd be amazed how many people went the three for a dollar route. I mean, you could rip people off so easily.
Worst stretch was what this was described as. Can't guard Jake on Twitter. Worst three-week stretch for a pro sports franchise maybe ever... He gives credit to the Dallas Mavericks. Kyrie Irving suffers a season-ending ACL injury yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, poor Kyrie.
I really feel bad for him, unless I don't.
And then there's the AD trade where he comes over, gets hurt, and then you also lose Luka Doncic to the Lakers.
But you did raise ticket prices for next year, 8.5% across the board.
Is that... Consider the worst three-week stretch in all of sports history?
I mean, I don't know. You'd have to really dive deep into that and find out who's had, you know, a bad three-week stretch, you know, over the course of time.
Or a three-year stretch.
Or a three-year stretch or a three-month stretch. I mean, you want to talk about bad stretches. This is a bump in the road compared to what some of the stuff we've been through here in Kansas City. And we were kind of sitting around yesterday talking about it. You want to talk about bad stretches. Try 08 to 12. You know, just 08 to 12 in Kansas City. It was terrible.
Yeah, the Royals in 08 were 75-87. They were then 65-97, 67-95, 71-91, and 72-90 from 08 to 2012, the Royals were. Then the boys got called up, and you had your 14, 15, 16,
and
17. Yeah, 13,
you started seeing it coming. 14 was great. 15, World Championship, right? Awesome.
Because 13, they made it all the way to the last week of the season before they were eliminated.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, remember the Justin Maxwell hitting that home run? Like, that was a big deal back then.
Grand Salami.
That was 12 years ago, my friend.
I believe that home run was off of Joaquin Soria in Texas.
I think it was. I think you're absolutely right about that.
And then the Chiefs from 08 to 12, 2-14, 4-12, 10-6, 7-9, 2-14.
Yeah, that 10-6 season was clearly the anomaly there in that stretch of 08, the year before Pioli took over, 09 when he was here, 10, 11, and 12, those Pioli years, you had that 10-6 factored in an anomaly and all of that. And here we sit with the team as good as they are right now. But what we're getting at is you have to hit rock bottom before you can go back up. And the Dallas Mavericks right now, they're at rock bottom. I mean, I don't know that you can get much worse than where they are right now. But again, it continues to lend itself to, are they going to sell that franchise and try to move that thing to Las Vegas? That's what I want to know. Or maybe they just sell it to Mahomes and he moves it here. I don't know.
Oh, don't tease me with a good time. Then I really would hate the Luka Doncic trade.
Yeah.
Like, damn it. We'd have Bobby Wood Jr., Patrick Mahomes, and Luka Doncic all at the age of 30?
Yeah.
Like, good Lord.
Yeah, Kansas City Mavericks. Here we go. But no, but I mean, I don't know where Patrick Mahomes is going to come up with a couple of $1 billion to go buy a sports franchise. But I do believe what they're doing in Dallas is exactly what we saw in the movie Major League. Strip the team down to nothing. don't have any fan interest, and then go, oh, we can't make it work here, move that team to Las Vegas.
Gosh, that 20, just looking at that 08 to 12 years with the Chiefs. That's why like it always pisses me off when people are like, oh, you're a Chiefs fan, must be nice.
It wasn't that long ago that they were the dregs of the NFL.
I'm like, when I was 21 years old, when sports really got fun, they went 2-14. And then they improved by 2 wins. And then Matt Cassel and Dwayne Bowe had a year in 2010. And then it was back to just garbage. 7-9, 2-14.
Mm-hmm.
And then Andy Reid comes along and everything changes. So, I mean, again, like, there are stretches. Like, yeah, it's been a tough 3 weeks for the Dallas Mavericks. But again, like, there's been a lot of teams in sports that have gone through 3 week stretches. Not a lot of teams in sports have gone through 4 to 5 year stretches of just like, oh my God, what are we going to do now? Like, there's football coming up. Yeah, but I mean, like, imagine, like, right? Like, you're 2009. Your Royals go 65-97. The season's over before Father's Day.
Yeah, right. Before Father's Day, before Mother's Day, before April Fool's.
And then you're like, but that's okay. We've got football. And then your football team goes 4-12.
Yes.
That's why I think when you look at where Kansas City sports are today and you look at what they have, like, we just mentioned Dwayne Bowe and Matt Cassel.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, we're like, we have Mahomes and Kelsey.
That's right.
Right? And then you go back to, you know, 2012 Royals or 2009 Royals. Like, you had Mike Sweeney, maybe?
No, Sweeney was gone. Gone at that point. The 09 Royals, I don't know who was on
that. Chester Cuthbert?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that was Greinke's year, the Cy Young Award.
Yeah, 09 was, yeah.
But, I mean, other than that, I don't know that you could name anybody that was. I mean, nobody was on that team. They didn't even drafted Moose at that point in time, and Salvi and wasn't here. And obviously, Hosmer, I don't even think, was drafted at that point in time. So, I mean, that 09 Royals team, man, that was like looking at nothing. Is the future ever going to be here? And then it happened, and then we got here. And so I always said Kansas City sports fans are the best in the country because we endure bad times. Now, people looking at it through a prism right now don't understand that we've gone through bad times, but we did. I mean, you really, for the most part, we went 30 years without having a franchise that was any good in this town. We went from the 85 World Series, winning that thing, until 2015. 30 years of no titles. That is a vast wasteland. You had a couple of nice Chiefs years, and the Chiefs came back once Carl and Marty got here, but they weren't winning championships. They weren't, you know, going out there and hoisting trophies and putting banners on side of the stadium. They were good teams. They weren't great teams, but for 30 years, we didn't do anything. I don't want to hear about anybody. Oh, 3 week stretch for the Dallas Mavericks. Yeah, blow it out your ass.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what both those teams did in those desperate needs. They made big moves.
Huge moves.
Managerial and trades, right? Like, you trade up with Buffalo, and you get Andy Reid, and you have Mahomes, and you have the coach that you want.
Mm-hmm.
You get a guy who has ran out of Milwaukee, and Ned Yost, turns his career around, and then you make moves and get James Shields, Wade Davis, et cetera, and your teams go from the bottom to right up to the top because you have to make aggressive moves.
You have to.
You've got to tell Andy Reid, I know you have a plane that's going to take off to Arizona. You're not taking that flight. Here's a blank check, and let me know what you want on this piece of paper from a pyramid scheme of where you want these people to be. Hey, Ned, I know it didn't work out in Milwaukee, but here's the deal. We're going to do this. We're going to make these trades. We're going to get these sort of players because I think the game's moving this way. Okay, that sounds good. World Series, Super Bowls, back on top.
You have to be willing to be aggressive. And look, it even goes back further. When Glass hired Dayton Moore, I mean, that was a brilliant hire by that organization to go out and get the best general manager that was available at the time, and that was Dayton. And they went out there and they retooled the entire organization to where we are right now. I mean, most of these guys that are playing today are still Dayton's players, right? So they've done a great job by hiring the right general manager on both sides of the parking lot, the right head coaches and manager on both sides of the parking lot, and moving forward. And that's why I say with this 2027, you know, work stoppage looming and possibly no baseball in 2027, you got 2 years to go all in. Let's go, man.
No doubt about it. Spring training coverage on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Park & Go, Casey's premier airport parking destination. And coming up on the other side, it is our guy from Arizona, Josh Verner, our Royals insider, joins us next on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.